الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يغلبن كريما ويغلبهن لئيم، فأحب أن أكون كريما مغلوبا ولا أحب أن أكون لئيما غالبا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, and also those listening over the receivers. Since it is the occasion of nikah, and Hazrat Maulana has given the suggestion that a few advices with regards to nikah should be mentioned, which will be beneficial for the nikah parties, and also for those of us who are married, and for those who intend to get married in the near future. And for those of us who are youngsters, then we can keep it in the backs of our minds. And when the occasion arises for us to make amal, then we will make amal on whatever advices have been given. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran al-Kareem filled with advices and guidance for mankind. It was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then when a nikah would be performed, then he would recite the Masnoon khutbah, which we heard. Now in this khutbah, there are many ayat which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. Now for many of us, this is a mere custom, and it is a ritual. We hear the ayat being recited. But if we dissect these ayat and ponder over the ayat, we will see that there is much advices which are hidden in these ayat, and that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose these ayat for the occasion of nikah. Amongst the ayat that are recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. The translation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O believers, fear Allah. Fear Allah in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be feared. Now what does حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ mean? Mufassirin have interpreted and mentioned that كَمَا تَرَكْتُمُ الشِّرْكَ وَالْكُفْرَ, just as you have left shirk and you have left kufr, that you believe in one Allah, you do not ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just as you have left kufr, that you do not reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اُتْرُكُ الْمَعَاصِي كُلَّهَا. In the same manner, leave all sins. Just as you do not ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do not reject Him, in the same manner, taqwa in its true sense means that we will leave all guna and all sins. We will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will not commit any sins. This is what taqwa actually means. And this is advice which is given to the nikah parties, that now this should be your pilot in the nikah, taqwa at all times. Leaving out every sin, the husband should assist the wife, and the wife should assist the husband. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, that assist and help one another towards righteousness, towards taqwa. And do not assist, do not encourage and help one another towards ithm and udwan, towards enmity and towards sin. So therefore the husband and wife as a team should now work hand in hand to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every step. If the wife sees that the husband is going off track, then she should discourage him and she should encourage him towards fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same manner, if the wife is going off track, then the husband, in a manner with kindness and with gentleness, he should advise her that we have to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the ayat which I recited in the khutbah of nikah, full of meaning and full of advices. The other ayat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, that all believers, all mankind rather, fear your Rabb. And as we have mentioned before, what is Rabb? Rabb means that that deity or that being that has brought you from non-existence into existence. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us into existence, we were non-existent. But then shay'an fa shay'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually nourished us and sustained us. From the time of infancy, that of youth, teenagers, and to our manhood, and then to our old age, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout who provided for us, who sustained us, who nourished us. So such a kind Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to His mercy. That look how mercy I am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That I have sustained you, I have nourished you all along. So therefore fear me. Do not displease me. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further says, Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. And in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the different forms in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan. That first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam directly from sand. This is the first form of creation. And this is the first manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan. Then the second manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan is that from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. And thereafter, from Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, the third means and manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates insan is that from man and woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then creates insan. And this is the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue creating till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا, Allah ta'ala created you from one. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً, and from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread throughout the earth man and woman. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, fear that Allah in whose name you ask one another. We find that when a person needs something, then he says, for Allah's sake, give me. So that Allah who you use as a means for asking, fear Him. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks and exhorts with regards to taqwa. So we find that taqwa is a very, very important aspect in the life of husband and wife. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal arham, and fear with regards to maintenance of family ties. See, this is the gist of the ayah. That with regards to one's blood relatives, we should be very, very particular with regards to upholding the relatives, the rights of our family members. Naya Mufassirin mentioned that a misconception amongst people is that a person regards his relatives to merely his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, his grandfather, his dada, dadi, his nana and his nani, paternal and maternal grandfather. But Mufassirin have mentioned that al-muradu bil-arham Al-Aqriba min jihati al-nasab wa min jihati al-nisa. That when we speak about relatives, then we refer to the relatives also on the wife's side. Just as a person fulfills the rights of his mother, and just as his mother has certain rights, and just as he has to uphold the relationship with his mother and his father, in a similar manner he has to uphold the relationship with his mother-in-law and his father-in-law, as we say. With his brother-in-law. In the same manner, just as he fulfills his own rights and the rights of his father, the rights of his mother, of his own father and his own mother, in a similar manner, he has to fulfill the rights of his father-in-law and his mother-in-law. That when there is a need, when they require something, for example, if the father-in-law is very, very sick, then at that time, if the daughter is the only daughter, then she may require the assistance of his daughter to nurse him. Then at that time we as husbands should forego our rights and we should show mercy. Gee, after all, it was our in-laws who had brought up that wife. They had brought her up and they had seen to her needs. And now they have given her over in our protection. So it is only fair that we also share with them. Thereafter, another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. That, O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak that which is truthful. Say that which will be correct. And here ulama kiram have mentioned that this ayah also indicates towards protecting our tongues with regards to marriage. We find that, as Hazrat Maulana over the past few weeks has been discussing over anger, and recently, last Jummah, a shocking incident Maulana mentioned with regards to a talaq which took place, with regards to the anger, not being able to control the tongue. The father and sons were having an argument, and then in that argument, the father lost his temper and eventually he gave the wife a talaq, and it was a very trivial issue. So we find that this tongue is very, very important. The controlling of our anger at all times, the initial stages of nikah, and later also, we have to be very, very particular with regards to controlling our temper and anger. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another place of the Quran Kareem, that وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Then with regards to the women folk, then live with them with kindness, with honor, in an honorable manner. This is very, very essential. Here one mufassir mentions so beautifully, and I will try and quote his words. And he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling on to mankind. And he's saying to you, he's imploring you, that deal with women folk in a kind manner, in a gentle manner. Thereafter he says that that person who does not listen to the imploring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a very, very lowly person. Thereafter he gives an incident and he says that if a military leader, he comes to you and he says to you that, see, your wife that you are getting married to, my daughter is very good friends with her. Therefore, I'm warning you, treat her very, very kindly. So then a person will be very, very particular. And he'll even ask his wife that, am I treating you correctly? Because he fears that that military leader mustn't come to find out. Otherwise, that's the end of me. So, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these women are the bondswomen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is interceding on their behalf because they are now coming into our care. It is very, very essential that we treat our women folk in a proper manner, with all times, with kindness, generosity, with love, understanding at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me that quality and all of us that quality. But it seems to be lacking amongst our men folk, that we find that we take advantage of the women folk. This is not fair at all. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful example for us. Till the day of Qiyamah, look at the manner in which he treated his women folk. Look at the understanding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once the women folk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were seeking a little extra spending money. And there was a bit of an argument which took place. The women folk, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were raising their voices against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu walked in. And we know Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu being a very firm person. When he walked in, all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent immediately. Thereafter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was very, very upset and he said, you fear me. You fear me, but you do not fear the Rasul of Allah. You are raising your voices against the Rasul of Allah. So then the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the answer which they gave to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. They said, oh Umar, you are very, very harsh. You are very, very firm. But our beloved Rasul, our husband, he is soft, he is gentle. He is kind. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a hadith. He says, يَغْلِبْنَ كَرِيمًا. That the woman folk will be able to overpower a person who is kind, a person who is soft, وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمِ, and a very lowly person, a person with bad temperament, he will overpower woman on the other hand. He says, but I prefer to be a kareem person, a kind person, a soft person, even though I may be overpowered by them. But I do not wish to be harsh, I do not wish to be lowly, even though it means I gain power over them. When Alim gives a beautiful example, he says the relationship between husband and wife is on two levels. The husband is a hakim, a husband is a ruler. But ruler in the sense that when it comes to the matters of Sharia, if the wife demands something which is contrary to Sharia, then at that time the husband will say, and again in a beautiful manner, trying explaining to her that this is not what we can. We should not bring this filth in our home. We should not go to haram places. At that time the husband has to apply his dominance and his power. And on the other hand, the wife is beloved. But if the husband becomes such a ruler and so harsh, then the love would go away. And the wife will no longer love that husband. Can you imagine such a relationship where the wife hates the husband? And there are many relationships today that are such, where the wife, she looks at the neighbor and she sees that although this person is far away from deen, he does not have Sharia and Sunnah on his face, but he treats his wife in a beautiful manner. But my husband, he is in the first saf and is involved in so many deeni activities, but he is harsh to me. When he walks in the house, he is cruel. He is screaming at me. He is demanding. One beautiful story which is mentioned, a certain person, his wife had it extra, and we have heard the story many times. But it is to bring back into our hearts this realization that just as we are worried about our daughters and our sisters, and we are very, very concerned that our daughters and our sisters must find suitable matches who will treat them in a proper manner, in the same way our wives are the daughters of somebody else. Our wives are the sisters of somebody else. So he says that the incident that is mentioned is that this person had added extra salt in the food. The wife had added extra salt in the food. So when the husband ate the food was very, very salty. But then immediately he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that inside himself, that anger was rising, that after heavy day of work, and the food is salty. But immediately he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said that, Ya Allah, after all, this is your bondswoman. You are watching me. If I have to lose my temper, then you are watching me. Nobody else will see, but you are watching me. Ya Allah, I forgive her for your pleasure. See, after that, he was seen when this person passed away. He was seen in a dream. And in the dream it was asked to him that what had happened. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you forgave my bondswoman, now I will forgive you, enter my Jannah. Once, one sahabi was beating up his slave. At that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by and immediately said that Allah, lallahu aqdaru alayka minka, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has greater power over you than you have over this person. That you may be beating this person up, or you may be losing your temper on this person, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more power over you than you have over this person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to unleash His temper on you, can you imagine what your condition be? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to punish you, can you imagine what your condition will be? So this sahabi says he turned around, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. When he heard this voice, when he turned around, he saw it was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Immediately he said, وَحُرٌّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, that the slave that I was beating, he is free for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that if you had not freed the slave of yours, لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارِ, the fire of Jahannam would have afflicted you. So therefore we must understand that at all times we must never lose our tempers. Gee, if we lose our temper, then at that time the Sharia has placed certain things and given certain instructions at that time. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting down, lie down. Gee, or move away from that which is making us angry. Drink water. Read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. For after all, temper is from shaitan. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that deal with them in an honorable manner, in an amicable manner. Therefore, it is very, very essential that we fulfill the rights of our wives. As Hazrat Maulana gives a very beautiful statement which he mentions, which can be written in gold. He says that each and every one of us is concerned of our rights. Are my rights being fulfilled? But he says we should not look whether our rights are being fulfilled. We should see, are we fulfilling the rights of the next person? Remember that we are answerable for our actions. We are not answerable for the next person's actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask each and every one of us, did you fulfill the rights of your father? Did you fulfill the rights of your mother? Did you fulfill the rights of your wife? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you, did your wife fulfill your right? Yes, she will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is answerable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Hazrat Mawlana mentions, that in fact we should not even go by the book of rights. We should go by the book of ihsan. We should do more than our rights. We should be kind, generous, understanding to them. And therefore we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakat in this nikah and all the nikahs of the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a life filled with joy, satisfaction, prosperity, happiness, peace, tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make our homes a jannat on earth. For that is the purpose of getting married. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a woman. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that we may gain sukoon from them. And in the same manner, the wife may gain peace and contentment from the husband. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us those qualities. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ